Is Hawkeye still the worst Avenger? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is a show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, Hawkeyes, Encantos. And more. I am DJ Wooldridge, and with me, as always, is Roxy Stryer on the road.
Ooh, the roadie Roxy.
Roadie Roxy.
You think roadie has a weird connotation, though? So I take it back. I prefer what you said. I'm Roxy Stryer on the road.
I wonder, you know, because I felt the same way, but then I tried to think about what the... And it's like, well, you just help the band, right? You just... The roadie's just the one that helps the band?
I think that... What am I thinking of? Kate, it's almost famous. It kind of
groupie. Are we conflating roadie with groupie? Is that what's happening?
No, the roadies really do like the tech stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you're on the road. Point is, you're on the road. You're traveling, but guess what? You are making time to talk about Hawkeye and Encanto for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I am.
If you're listening to this podcast normally, it is post-Thanksgiving. If you are listening to this on Patreon, which you can listen to these episodes early on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, you're probably listening to this like on or around Thanksgiving. So Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hope that you guys are all spending time with your loved ones. And for those of you guys who couldn't this year because of the panini, which is now how I exclusively refer to the pandemic because it's a lot more fun and I refuse to call it anything else. Or just because it wasn't the year to do so. And if the holidays are a little tough for you, we're your friends. We're here.
That's the point. So before we get going, Roxy, is there something in particular that you are thankful for right at this second or just in general in life? Is there, I know obviously, like you said, it's been a dodgy 2 years, but is there something on the top of your brain that you're thankful for?
Gosh, there's so many. I was just talking to you about this, like the fact that I can work from here. That's like a crazy new revelation, or work from wherever you have to work from. But really it comes down to obviously my family. Every time I come back here, I'm like, oh yeah, I am loved. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Cause you know, out there you've got your fam and, but I'm like on a solo journey all the time. And so when I come back home, I'm like, oh, right. People like me and they like care about me. And it's just a weird, like, thank goodness. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So it's always nice.
Everybody in the chat or the social medias remind Roxy that she is loved. Go out there.
Yeah. It's not just the family. Needy. It's needy, but like, you know, when you come back here,
it's not, it's like, you don't matter.
Like my dad, I'm saying my dad, he'll bring me grapes into my room. Like he saw that I was working till 5 a.m. last night. So like, he was like, do you want me to bring you up food? And I was like, I do want you to bring me up.
Thank you. Well,
what about you, DJ?
Similar to you, obviously, I also just saw my family recently, and I'm very thankful for them. I'm very thankful for my wife, because things have been challenging. All of them have been very supportive. I'm thankful for you for doing this show with me in the past year plus. Specifically in this specific arrangement, obviously you've been part of the show significantly longer than just that.
How long?
I mean, it depends on when we started Super TV. So I've been doing this show for about 5.5, almost 6 years now. So at whatever point in that run, we started Super TV, which I feel like is earlier than I remember it being. So like 5-ish years.
You know what popped up the other day on my, you know how your phone reminds you about memories?
Yeah.
Was the, whatever that amazing, was it your 100th episode, your 500th episode? I don't even know what, whatever that was. That was such an amazing event that you guys included me in. That was awesome. Anyway, we're on what you're thankful for. But
yes. Well, and again, thankful for the show and the fans and the fact that we've been able to do this for so long. Our 200th episode was actually during the pandemic. So we didn't quite do the same thing, understandably.
Party.
Yeah.
Go panini.
But listen, we're done with Thanksgiving now. Now it's on to Christmas. I don't know. I guess, no, wait, no, this works. Wait, it tracks because Hawkeye is set during Christmas. Today we're talking about Hawkeye, the first two episodes, which we got to see early. However, we're going to be doing spoilers because at this point, by the time this episode drops, those first two episodes will have dropped as well. So we'll do spoilers for those. But I also wanted to take a second to talk about Encanto, which is dropping during Thanksgiving, mostly because Rox and I really, really, really liked it. And so I just want to take a second to bask in us liking that. But before we do any of that, I'd like to remind you that you can listen to these shows early, not so much at the right this second because of the holidays, but we also do these episodes live, which you can watch at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. You can also check out our Patreon exclusive show Spider-Versity that I do with Sal, where we're going through the Spider-Man movies in preparation for No Way Home. A lot of love for that show, so that's been really exciting to see. Also, if you listen to this on Spotify, we ask a question every week. Last week's episode was Ghostbusters Afterlife, and we asked, do you want more Ghostbusters sequels, or should they let the franchise pass on? And Xavier Thomas said, I've never seen a single Ghostbusters movie. After this podcast, still no interest, LOL. To be honest, I never understood the whole fandom of this franchise. Well, Xavier, please do yourself a favor and watch the original. If you watch the original, I would imagine you'd immediately get it. It is genuinely shocking that that beautiful, wonderful movie has not generated one good sequel.
Holds up. It holds up. DJ, you and I, my friend, are so vastly in the minority on this new one. It is concerning. I am just watching everybody who sees it. It's great. It's great. And you know what? I wish I was them. I'm jealous.
Yeah, good for good for them for liking it. I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, it was their first time going back to the theaters. I'm like, oh, what did you see? And he's like, Ghostbusters. And my immediate reaction was, oh, why that one? And he's like, oh, I loved it. I'm like, good for you.
But I think if it had been my first movie in 2 years, I would have loved it too.
Yeah, probably. I do wonder, because obviously I've been trying to process in my brain like what's going on. And I do wonder, you mentioned this in our episode discussion, is I wonder how much of the heavy lifting is being done by like that last 10 minutes.
I think a huge amount.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a huge amount. I was watching Yellowstone, which I'm binging right now, which I can talk to the people about a different time.
I've heard good things.
It's amazing. Okay. And that will be for sure what I'm into when I finish it. I'm on season 2 of 4. Mm. It's excellent though, DJ. But one of the weird things about Paramount Plus is that it has commercials, unlike a lot of my other shirts. So all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. And they will not stop playing that thing that we watched before Ghostbusters with Jason Reitman.
Oh, really?
That's a commercial during me watching Yellowstone. Every like 10 minutes, it's like Jason comes on. He's like, this is a family movie made by a family. And I'm like, stop saying this. You're haunting me.
It's weird that what we took as like a warning / apology is apparently like a marketing tool.
Yeah. Like they are pushing that out. I was watching it and I was like, you know, to myself in my own place where I live by myself. Is anybody seeing this?
Hey, are you all seeing this? What? Oh my God. Well, you know, whatever. Let's talk about stuff we like. But before, listen, before we talk about stuff we like, I do want to take a brief ad break. We're going to do a brief ad break to talk about other stuff we like because they're paying us to. So go listen to that and we'll be right back.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
And we're back. Oh my God, what a beautiful ad. Thank you, ads. Sure.
What you're thankful for
is ads. It is weird whenever you, because when I visited my family, you know, we're watching their TV and their TV has so many ads. And it's just weird that it's like, oh man, I've completely excised this from my entire life. Like other than the 30 seconds I have to sit through between YouTube videos, I don't deal with this anymore.
I know, I really don't. And it's so bizarre because I forget. And then all of a sudden I'm mad at Paramount because how entitled am I? Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you show me what you want to show me while I'm watching this on my sister's account for free?
So yeah,
how dare you?
How dare you? So you just said it was your sister's account, so you might not know. Is it like Hulu where there's an ad version, but if you pay a little extra, you get the non-ad version?
Unsure. Usually on Hulu, because I do that, they keep reminding you, if you don't want to listen to these, upgrade. Paramount Plus hasn't said that one time. So you would think that they would verbalize that. But I also think that there's got to be ads, right? It's weird because Yellowstone is not a Paramount. Like, I feel like I'm watching it on Paramount via Peacock. I'm doing some weird thing. I'm not sure.
Well,
I'm doing a legit thing, like a paid-for thing, but yeah. I don't know how exactly it works. Is there a crossover between those two streaming platforms?
I don't know. I think Yellowstone is a Paramount Plus show. That's what I've heard, is where people are watching it. And I was actually going to ask you if I'm always interested in the Star Trek stuff they're doing over there. I'm wondering if those two combined makes it worth getting a Paramount Plus.
What is Discovery?
Star Trek, the new Star Trek show.
No.
What is Discovery?
Discovery Plus.
Oh, Discovery Plus is the Discovery channel.
Has nothing to do. Okay.
Yeah, as far as I know, I know. My parents ditched Paramount Plus for Discovery Plus because they like watching I think it's like History Channel and stuff like that.
Scandalous.
I know. Drama over there. But anyway, you know what's not on any of those networks, but will be on Disney Plus eventually, but it's coming to theaters like now-ish, is Encanto, which we got a chance to see early. The synopsis is: a young Colombian girl has to face the frustration of being the only member of her family without magical powers. Currently, it has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not everything's broken, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And then the critics' consensus is Encanto's setting and cultural perspective are new for Disney, but the end result is the same: enchanting. Beautifully animated, fun for the whole family. And it's directed and written by Jared Bush, Byron Howard, and Charisse Castro-Smith. And it's starring Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and In the Heights, Maria Cecilia Botero, John Leguizamo, Diane Guerrero, who fans of this show might know from Doom Patrol and Orange is the New Black, and Wilmer Valderrama. So a lot of great people in there. And I don't think, obviously I didn't like do, this is unscientific perspective on our screening, but I don't think there was a dry eye in the house when we left the movie.
I can't say enough good things about this movie. I feel like a broken record at this point, because anybody who will listen to me, and I'm not talking about on air, I'm talking about people, like anybody I bump into, have you seen Encanto? Because this was my favorite movie of the year so far.
Yes.
And coming from me, that's saying a lot, because DJ, you know how I feel about animated things.
That's true. That is true.
And this is very clearly not targeted towards 30-year-old women in any way, you know, they weren't like, who is our target demo? The Roxys of the world who don't love animation and are grown ass adults. But it was my favorite of the year so far, because the story is so inspiring and beautiful. It touched my soul. The voices, this is what happens when you pick, and you just named some of the bigger names.
Yeah.
But it's not like this cast is stacked with A-list actors. This is like people who really do well with voices. Even Diane Guerrero, when you think about the roles that she's played, she has to be multiple characters on Doom Patrol, you know, so she's really good vocally. So a lot of these things, a lot of these people, they're not just these big household names. They're great at what they do. And then the way it looked on top of it and the music, and then you get Lin-Manuel Miranda involved.
Yeah.
The whole thing was so great, DJ, that I was upset. This is one of the only times that I was like, how am I not going to watch this again right now? Like,
yeah.
Play it again. Just
start it from the top. Well, yeah, it's interesting because, and also when you talked about Diane Guerrero, also Stephanie Beatrice, who, if you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, she plays a very distinct character to the point where you would almost expect her to be the same thing in everything, but she has so much range, and it's incredible to see, because like when I saw her name, I was like, wait, that was her? Like, what the? So you're right that the cast is perfect. This movie also does a very, and it's beautiful in not just in the fidelity of animation, but like the quote unquote acting, the performances, the way the characters are depicted moving and interacting and reacting to each other is very fluid and nuanced. But for me, this does a very key thing when you're making, and Pixar has traditionally nailed this. And of course, a lot of the creative teams between Pixar and Disney have kind of like blended at this point. But this does something that I really like from all ages entertainment, when it, where it is legitimately all ages. Like sometimes you get a movie that's ostensibly targeted for kids and it talks down to your audience. Ghostbusters.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but this doesn't. And what I also like is that it tackles actually pretty complex themes about family in a very intuitive and easy to access way. Like it's a lot of these movies kind of like, it's like, you know, a bad family has to learn a lesson or whatever. This is a family that is on paper, like a good solid family. They got their act together. And what this movie kind of unpacks is that even then there's stuff that ideology of trying to do everything right, get everything perfect. We have to be the perfect family. We have to do everything right in its own way can be toxic. And I think it tackles that in a really interesting way. And also when it comes to these, at this point, I've learned with these, like the more modern CG Disney movies, if you can create a world that I want to live in, say Moana or Zootopia or any of those where it's like, oh, that's a place I just want to live. You're halfway home with me. And Encanto is 100% that. Like
Ironically, you just named two other movies that had a lot of the similar creative team as this movie.
Well, they've got my number.
Moana and Zootopia.
Yeah, I love both those movies. Clearly, these people are. But even though I love those movies, this I found significantly more impactful to me. Like I found it very much much more emotionally. Which is not to say like this is good and those are bad. It's this affected me significantly more.
Yeah, completely. I think that if we're comparing this to Disney animated movies that have come out in recent years, this wipes the floor with all of them for me. And yeah. I don't mean that like those weren't great, but of Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen and can't think of any other movies right now. But
Tangled, Big Hero Tangled. 6. Yeah.
Thank you. The ones that DJ just named. Mm-hmm. This one connected with me so much more. And it was actually interesting, DJ, because I was thinking about it afterwards and I was like, usually a movie touches my soul because I can see myself in it somewhere.
Yeah.
Or not always. But I don't even know that was the case for this movie. Because mm-hmm. I was, after watching it, I was like, am I so moved because I'm her? No.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a movie has really done its job. They yeah. made me care so much about somebody that I actually don't know that I relate to.
Yeah.
And I cared anyway. I think it was brilliant too, how in its opening number, this movie without being like X-Paws, mm-hmm. was like, here's what every member of the family's name is, mm-hmm. powers are, relationship is, in a great song.
Yes.
And so immediately you know all the players on the board.
Yep.
It, like within the first 10 minutes of this movie, I know what's in our sandbox.
Yeah.
And so I know what we're able to play with. And that was so smart.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's another thing, is that it's paced really well, because something I've noticed a lot with more modern animated movies, specifically I think of like Raya, which is a movie I enjoyed, but it's one of those like, hey, here's a prologue that explains everything. Now the movie starts, we're going to explain everything again. And here's a character that shows up, and just in case you missed it, here we, and it's like, I'm way on board. I get it. I get what we're doing. I get what the gimmick is. And this was very much the way it doled out information, felt very, very intentional and very specific, to the point where it's like, yeah, we don't need to go over this a bunch, even though there is a lot of characters and they all have distinct powers. I also like that this movie is very self-aware in the sense that in this story, Stephanie Beatrice's character lives in a family, Mirabelle lives in a family that each family member has a unique gift or ability, like shape changing or the ability to hear very far. And she's the only one that doesn't, which is kind of like the core conflict of it. And But it's interesting that a lot of powers are like cool, but also like creepy. My wife and I like leaned over like the shape changing kid. Like he would like to help people. He would like become them to like carry their baby. Or when they came up to a party, he'd become them. And I would immediately, if I lived in that world, like, don't do that. I don't need you to do that. But specifically with the girl that can hear really well, they lean into like, oh yeah, there is a creepy aspect to this. Like the movie knows what it's doing. Like everybody on board knows what they're doing. Again, with the girl that hears really well, there's a party and there's a scene where everybody cheers and she covers her ears because she can hear really well. So it's like, that would be hard for her. And that attention to detail really helps make the movie more engaging.
Yeah. And even the powers that aren't creepy, they're sad.
Yes.
You know, like the girl who's really strong, and mm-hmm. I won't give too much more away than that, but you, or even the girl that's perfect.
Yeah.
I really loved the sister dynamic in this mm-hmm. because it was interesting to watch. I felt as an audience member, very judgy. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped being so judgy when you hear why somebody is the way they are.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. Life where you make flash judgments on people because of a couple of interactions and you have actually no idea what's going on with them.
100%. And I think you're bringing up another good aspect of this movie where it's unpredictable, but like when it does stuff, it's like, oh, of course, like you said, because that's the way people work. Like I found myself thinking like, this is not, by the way, this is not a good way to watch a movie. But I was kind of sitting there as the movie like really got me. I kept waiting for like, okay, so, but when is it going to get bad? Like when I'm like, I'm really digging this movie, but so when is it going to get bad? And there's parts where it's like, hey, we're going to head in the direction you expect. And I'm like, okay, so here's where it kind of becomes generic. And then it would swerve a little bit. And I'm like, oh, this is it. And that, I was like, I kind of don't know what we're doing now. And then they unpack. I'm like, oh, that's actually really, it makes sense. It's completely organic to the world. But yeah. I expected this movie to be more predictable and it's not doing that.
Yes. I wonder, I don't know if you remember this, DJ, but when we've talked about before, like what makes you cry in a movie, mm-hmm. what I have talked about, and this has come up in Star Wars, and in a lot of the movies, when people join together to come save the day, like when you think that you're screwed and a bunch of people show up to support you, in movies, 10 out of 10 times that gets me. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's the number one thing. When like you think you're an island and then you discover all the things you've done in life made it so that you were on an island.
Yeah.
And that was like, not where I wasn't expecting to be so moved. And I, like you, was watching this and I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to stick the landing on this.
Yeah.
They set up a lot of things that I think are amazing, but how are they going to stick it? And then I felt like they stuck the landing on this in a way that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And poignant and realistic. Mm-hmm. I know that that's the dumbest of the words that I just chose, but in this world, this was a realistic scenario.
Yeah. Like a believable,
earned.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Earned. It was earned. It felt right. It felt true to everything that it had set up. It wasn't, it was a positive ending, but not like too easy. Not like, oh, well, we just kind of hand waved all the conflict away. It's like, no, it's, we earned this. It does the work. It does what you want these movies to do. It's really engaging. There's a short in front of it that's also great and also is actually dealing with like kind of complex familial issues. I like that. I'm really impressed. It's something that the animated series Avatar The Last Airbender does really well. It's like all the Toy Story movies, especially the later Toy Story movies, where we're like, hey, we're speaking to younger audience members, but we're actually going to be unpacking stuff that is true about life and kind of complex, but we're going to do it. It's cool. It's cool when movies can do it. This is a great one. Like Roxy said, this is one of my favorite movies of the year. 100% did not expect that going into this. Had like no expectations. I was like, it'll be fun. You know what I mean? Whatever. And was blown away. It was just genuinely blown away.
Yeah. Yeah. Shocked. And everybody in the theater felt like that. And then afterwards I went to Rotten Tomatoes. There was only one person who had negatived it or said that it was rotten. I'm going to find that person.
We're going to find him. We're going to have Stern talking to
him. I feel like he didn't watch it.
We're going to make him watch it again. We're going to make
him. I'm going to find him. I'm going to force him to watch it.
But yeah, that was the other thing I was worried about was like, whenever you come out of the theater with like a strong feeling, you're like, oh man, what's the vibe going to be like when we leave? You know what I mean? And everybody else was super positive. I'm like, hell yeah, good.
Everyone claps, DJ.
They did.
At the end of the movie, it wasn't like one of those, it wasn't a premiere. Mm-mm. It was a screening and everybody clapped.
It was a screening after people had already seen the movie. Like reviews had already come out at this point. Like it was, people have been seeing this for a minute, but everybody still clapped.
So good. What a good Thanksgiving movie.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. Great, great Thanksgiving movie. If you're the type that takes your family to see a movie on Thanksgiving, can't recommend this one enough. If you're avoiding theaters right now, which is understandable, I believe it's coming out on Disney Plus a month after its release. That might not be accurate. That's just what I heard. And I'm just spreading that misinformation. So I guess look for yourself is what I'm saying. The other thing that's coming out at Thanksgiving is the first two episodes of Hawkeye, and we're going to dive into that now. But before we get into that, here's a gosh dang another ad break because we need to put food on the table, dang it.
Turkey.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back and we are here to talk about the most anticipated Marvel show slash movie ever in the history of, we're talking about Hawkeye. We're talking about Hawkeye. The first two episodes, I did not get the names of the episodes. So we're just going to call them episode one and episode two. So going into this, Roxy, I want to check with you because I know when we watched WandaVision, Wanda, was your favorite MCU character. Going into that, where does Hawkeye, Clint Barton, Jeremy Renner is Clint Barton, where does he fall on the spectrum of the Marvel character, MCU characters for you?
Meh. That's the best way that I can describe it.
Is he, because I know he gets a lot of shit for being the worst Avenger. And I kind of think that's fair. Like, I think Hawkeye in the comics is pretty cool. And it's nothing, this statement I'm going to make is not about Jeremy Renner or any of that. I think Hawkeye in the MCU is is at least one of the weaker characters.
Yeah, it's just hard. I want to defend him from previously, but I feel meh. He's meh. He's fine. But he's not annoying to me when he's on screen. It's not like Doctor Strange where I have a visceral reaction to him. He's meh. He's a man.
You're very excited for Spider-Man No Way Home.
I am, but geez. It made it difficult for me.
So this series picks up after Endgame. The synopsis of the series based on the Marvel Comics superhero Hawkeye, centering on the adventures of young Avenger Kate M. Bishop, who took on the role after the original Avenger, Clint Barton. That's a little weird, but it roughly accurate. Of course, it's starring Jeremy Renner as Clint Barton, Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop, Tony Dalton from Better Call Saul as Jack Duquesne, Vera Farmiga as Eleanor Bishop, Linda Cardellini as Laura Barton, and other characters that we will get to in a minute. And right off the bat, going into the first episode, a smart choice I think the show makes that still surprised me is how much that first episode is focused on Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop. It's very much kind of like, hey, this is her show.
DJ, are we spoiler free right now?
We are spoilers because while we're recording this early, by the time this episode drops, the episodes themselves should have aired. So I'm glad you brought that up because if you have not yet watched the episodes, get out now or watch them. Or if you don't care, stick around, whatever, do what you want. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but we're going to spoil it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you where I was pleasantly surprised. It was kind of the opposite of my Ghostbusters feel like, why are you focusing so much on the kids? And this was like, oh, that's exactly, we need to, not that Haley Steinfeld's a child, but
yes,
we need, that's where the focus should be. I'm also a really big Haley Steinfeld fan. So after Edge of 17, I've just been wanting to see the next thing that made me be like, this is the girl. Yeah. And I think that she is perfectly made for this because she's believable, but she's goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. That's the right choice here. Like, you believe when she's doing all of the things that she can do them, but you believe when she F's up that she also would do that.
100%. It's for me, she is absolutely the standout. I do think this show does some commendable effort to try and flesh out Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye. It is interesting because I feel like his Hawkeye has had to have had more screen time than Elizabeth Olsen's Wanda. And yet, as we started like fleshing his deal out, I was like, I feel like I know this character less. I feel like I feel like I know less about this character going into the show than I did Wanda, which is wild to think about.
Well, for a minute, I was like, how are we even going to combine these two stories? We were really living in two different worlds. And I was like, does he know Vera Farmiga? How are we doing?
So let's get into it. Let's go through the episode a little bit. Like we talked about, we meet Kate. We open with Kate Bishop. We open in 2012. So in 2012 in New York. So we know immediately the second that title card shows up, we know what's going to happen. We see Kate as a kid. Her mom and her dad are fighting.
Do you think, DJ, on that note though, that there's a single person watching this who this is their first, because it is a Disney Plus show. It is starring Hailee Steinfeld.
Yes,
it's a completely different demo than a lot of the things. Do you think there's anybody watching this who didn't know what that was?
Law of averages, I'm sure somebody.
Yeah.
But I think even through like, think about how much pop culture information you know without necessarily having seen the thing. You know, it just bleeds in because it's such a part of pop culture. I imagine that you'd, at least if you did that date, didn't even immediately like, oh, this is what we're doing. But the second the alien showed, you're like, oh, okay, well, Avengers, right? You know what I mean? Even if you haven't seen, you're like, okay, Avengers. Of course, her parents are apparently wealthy. She lives she is in the comics as well. The place they live is fucked up by the Chitauri invasion. She sees Hawkeye do the one badass thing he did during that fight. And after this, it appears her dad, played by Brian D'Arcy James, has died. That said, even watching it, I was like, well, there's no way we didn't see a body I don't know what that actor's been in, but I recognize his face. Like, that's not dead. And also, when I went to go pull information from this, he's credited in every episode of the show, so he's like a cast member.
I kind of wish I didn't look at some of the credits in this cast,
yeah,
because some of them kind of surprised me with how many episodes some people are in. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh wow, that person's sticking around.
Are there. So dad's gonna show up again, but I do think we're gonna do something interesting with dad, because she some of the writing in this show is not necessarily the most organic, let's say. And so she's like, young Kate's like, what would you do in a hurricane? It's like, that kind of felt like it came out of nowhere, but whatever. And dad's like, I would protect you. I'm like, oh, dad's going to end up being a piece of shit.
Yeah, I remember that moment being like, okay, I'll note that.
Yeah, because you watch enough of it. Roxy, we've been watching a lot of TV for a long time. You know, just the vibes that guy was giving off, like, oh, this guy's kind of a slime ball. Like, I don't believe in this guy. I don't trust him.
What do you think about her mom, though?
I fear for Mike. I love her and everything. My only issue is kind of an issue, and this is probably unfair, but like casting like that, any casting like that in a Marvel property, it's like, wait, we're going to waste Vera Farmiga on the mom? Like, we're going to cast Vera Farmiga as the mom? We're not going to have her be like somebody?
Yeah, but maybe we don't know what's going to happen with her.
That's a good point. But what did you think?
I think that she's awesome. I'm really liking her in this role. I'm glad that they stayed true and made this a rich family, because I think that it does make it more complicated in that one speech that the mom gives, where like, you not only grown up, not only do you think you're invincible, but you're privileged.
Yes.
And as somebody who has at some point been neither of those things, let me talk to you. And I think that oftentimes we try to show a lot of superheroes. I mean, of course, there's the Iron Mans of the world, but especially child ones, where they have lost their parents, they're broke, they're stealing for food. Mm-hmm. They're Aladdin, essentially.
Yeah.
And in this situation, it's like, or very likely you are able to do what you're doing and get away with it because you're a rich kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so that checks out.
And I also like, I like that line you said, but I feel like that's why you cast Vera Farmiga in that role, to like sell that believably. Like that line where she's like, hey, shut up a second. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're like, oh yeah, I buy that because of you. And like, you know, you deserve some respect. You're a ghost hunter, for crying out loud, in the Conjuring movies. I respect you. So speaking of the what led to that line, we fast forward to, I think she's in college, right? Because she says in episode 2 she's 22.
Yeah.
Which I was glad. I was like, oh, good thing we're not trying to pass Haley Seinfeld off as like a high schooler.
Yeah, she's an adult. Her mom had to pay the university off because of all the stuff. So she's in college.
Yeah, so she fired an arrow at apparently the most fragile church bell, tower bell that has ever existed. Because like she just hits the little bell knocker thing and the whole thing just collapses in on itself, which God, thank God she is rich, because that would, it'd be ruinous for any other person.
It would ruin your whole life.
You would be sued into the earth.
Yeah, like what? But that was a little, you got to suspend your disbelief, because like, why does a bell doing what a bell does break an entire tower?
Yeah, if they not like run that, is that like notoriously, that's a bell that we never use. They like have speakers to make the bell sound, but like don't actually use the bell. It'll fall apart.
Yeah, like ridiculous, but okay. Also, sure. her two friends, don't run.
Yeah, which also like... Like, because you're right. It's not like she does... She literally... The arrow like wraps around the like pull cord and it just does the bell thing. That's all it does. It's not like an explosive or anything. Anyway, whatever. Meanwhile, Clint is on holiday with his kids. He's in New York, kind of unsure why mom's not there, but whatever. I guess they could only get Lena Cardellini for like a couple days. So it's like, we're not going to fly her out to New York. She needs to be home for most of it anyway. So whatever. They're seeing Rogers the Musical on Broadway, which, and they leave about halfway through, which I'm like, yeah, that tracks. I don't know if I'd want to sit through. As an audience member of the show, it's hilarious. As like, if I lived in that world, I'd be like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I thought that was really well done, though. We had seen it in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this played better than that did.
Yeah, and I do like we it's a second to check in with him, because obviously he sees a variation of Nat in the performance of Black Widow, and he has feelings about that. And I like that his kids, specifically his daughter, his kids don't suck. I like that. Like his kids are like believably kids, but not like annoying. And then the show ships them off. I'm like, great, you did this, was perfect.
But. Strange when the one daughter's expo's line, she's like, but everybody misses her, mm-hmm. but she was your best friend. Mm-hmm.
Like, in case you forgot.
Like, okay, thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, oh shit, wasn't I wasn't clear, aware.
If that wasn't clear from the MCU, then they didn't do their job. Mm-hmm. It's too late.
Well, again, for the one person that they're in is Hawkeye, we need to be reminded. Could you imagine if your first MCU thing is Hawkeye and they're like talking about like, yeah, half the world vanished and now we're back. What the fuck?
Yeah, but I agree about the kids not sucking. It's not like they were like, Dad, why are you so upset right now? It makes perfect sense. I love this play. You know, they kind of just like,
yeah, they weren't.
Yeah,
like,
that was stupid. I love the little kid being like, why are they dancing about what happened?
Like, that is a great question. It's one of those, like, as a fan of Marvel stuff, you're like, oh, a musical would exist in that world. It's like, but would it, though? That's kind of like they're, it's like Alien 9/11. Like, would you make a rollicking musical about, like, people died?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure people would try, though. We've made tons of movies about them, so.
That's true. Yeah. Back to Kate. We're introduced to mom's beau / soon-to-be fiance, Jack, who is clearly a bad guy. And... they're at like a party dinner thing, and there's a
soiree.
Perfect soiree, and there's a black market auction going down there, and it's one of those, like, I watch the shows, and then as I was putting my notes together, there's things that happen that I was like, wait, why did this happen? I don't remember. Like,
and is it a wine cellar?
It's like a wine cellar, and then she sneaks down there because she's spying on Jack. Right? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a black market auction. And they sell a Triceratops skull. Cool. They're going to sell the Ronin attire from that Clint wore in Endgame. Which, how did they get a hold of it? Whatever.
Also confused, because they make it. The point is that they say that nobody knows who he is because still nobody's seen his face.
Yeah.
But then throughout the rest of the show, anybody who sees him recognizes him as Hawkeye.
Yeah, so I guess he kept the mask on as Ronan, and so nobody put two and two. I was also a little confused. I'm like, how famous? Listen, I get it. The Avengers are celebrities, but like, are news programs really putting Clint Barton's face up when they're talking about the event? It wouldn't just be like a group shot or something. Like, people, would you recognize Hawkeye on site in that universe? You know what I mean?
Right. Not sure. Because to me, it's kind of like Congress.
Yeah, like I don't. Some of them, like I'm sure people would recognize Steve Rogers. Like that makes sense. Tony Stark was already a celebrity before that, sure. But like, especially Hawkeye and Black Widow, it's like, yeah, you guys were like the covert people. Would your faces be all over the fucking place?
I don't know.
Anyway, they have.
And anytime somebody would say to him, "You're my favorite Avenger," I would think to myself, "Oh, they're lying."
They're clearly lying. They're trying to make him feel better.
I've never met one person who said that.
Which, by the way, there is a lot of homages, specific homages to Matt Fraction and David Aja's Aja. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Their run on Hawkeye, which is interesting to see. Obviously, there's Marvel references in all these shows, but to see them so specifically reference a specific run is very interesting. To the point where Matt Fraction, I think, is a consulting producer on it. Which is very cool. And that comic very much leans into like Hawkeye's the worst Avenger. Like that's kind of the bit. And I kind of wish the show leaned into it a little bit more, but whatever. The auction is attacked. Kate takes the Ronan garb to deal with the robbers who are anybody that's read that Hawkeye run, it's the Tracksuit Mafia. They get a name drop later. In that garb, she also saves Pizza Dog, who's also from the comics, a little golden retriever that's kind of messed up. And she ends up on the news, which is how Clint sees her. And I will say, like, we do a lot of work to establish, like, listen, Kate has been doing archery. She's been doing sword training. She's been doing ever since Avengers. She's been doing martial arts stuff. And literally the same day I watched this show, I rewatched Shang-Chi with my wife. And you get to the end where, what is it? Katie is able to, whatever the Awkwafina's character is, just able to destroy the cosmic dragon with one arrow after practicing for a day. I'm like, Kate Bishop's working too hard. Clearly, it's not that difficult.
totally. So with you. Also, like, do you recall how much power Hawkeye's suit has?
I don't think any.
Okay, so why? So the martial arts stuff.
Yes. Like,
some of like what Kate's able to do, I'm like, okay.
Listen, she got her black belt when she was 15, which by the way, I got my black belt when I was 13. Suck it, Kate. She's able to do some pretty crazy stuff. I also don't quite know what we're trying to accomplish because it seems like everybody in the auction is kind of an asshole. So it's like, why? Who are we protecting from what? Like, what are we trying to? Also, I've got to mention before we get to the outfit, they show Ronan's sword, which I guess can suck into itself, and the blade is like at least twice the size of the hilt, but somehow it all fits into the hilt. It was one of those. I saw that and it was immediately like, bullshit. Like, what? How does that? And this is in a universe where Iron Man is apparently carrying around 500 pounds of armor in his little heart unit by Endgame. So, like, whatever. I don't know why that bothered me so much, but I was like, whatever.
I get it. It bothers you.
It just stood out. And this was another one. She follows, I can't remember the character's name. She follows Jack's uncle to his place for a reason I can't remember. And he's dead. He's been stabbed to death. We learn later that she thinks by a sword. I don't know how she determined that, but whatever, again. During this, she was tracked by the Tracksuit Mafia. And she does a pretty good job holding her own, but she's overwhelmed. And Clint ends up rescuing her. And that is where we end episode one. Going into episode two, Clint and Kate meet. This is where you're talking about, Roxy, where like clearly Kate's pretty open that Hawkeye's her favorite Avenger, which she's probably the only one, and that's because she saw Hawkeye during apparently she didn't see any of the other Avengers do any other cool things. She just saw Hawkeye do his one cool thing,
blinders on,
and she's like, that's my guy. Anyway, and I will say in the comics, Kate's a huge Hawkeye fan too, and even that's like, wait, Hawkeye? I mean, I'm not sure, whatever.
Totally.
apparently Kate is doing very bad at losing a tail because the tracksuits follow them to her apartment, followed her to her apartment earlier. They start throwing Molotov cocktails. Both Clint and Kate escape, but they leave the Ronin suit behind. And they use Kate's aunt's home as a safe house, which I kind of felt like when they were doing this, I felt like we were trying to build up to like, should I know what? Oh, no, it's just her aunt. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
sure. Yeah. Also am I missing something? Or?
Yeah, whatever. Also worth mentioning, Haley Steinfeld's fashion throughout these first two episodes is pretty great. I like the direction they're taking Kate in.
And different, and it made sense with the waitress stuff too, because they kind of, but like so much more swaggy. But it was cool.
Yeah, she's got good style. I'm into it. And this baffled me, Roxy. What we're going to get into now, the subplot in this episode was like, "Why, this is what we're doing? All right." So Clint goes back to the burning building. I guess some of the firefighters just left their stuff lying around, you know, like you do when you're fighting a fire. And he picks it up, disguised as a firefighter, which, again, I don't know why you couldn't just walk up and be like, I'm an Avenger, can I go in? And they'd be like, yeah, sure, I guess. He goes in, the suit's gone. He sees that one of the fire trucks has a LARPing bumper sticker on it, which I didn't know you could put personal bumper stickers on the fire truck itself, whatever. And
you know that Role Models is my favorite comedy, so I was like, oh yes, anything with LARPing, bring
love
it on.
God, Role Models is so much fun. I really love that movie.
So good.
And he goes to a LARPing event, apparently populated mostly by cops and firefighters, which sounds like a blast.
one way of putting it. Yeah, it was great. And I like the, like, not giving his information, everything. It was just a funny bit, like, because some of the show was funny.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Well, again, this is where we kind of, like, in this moment, earlier, Kate is talking to Clint, and she's like, your whole thing is not, you're not, you don't give a lot. And so, like, you're trying to sell hope or whatever, and you're not giving people a lot to work with. And I was like, is that his thing? That's not a bad thing to have. Like, in that moment, I was like, I'm kind of interested to see what we do with Hawkeye here. Because it's like, and that was the moment where I realized, like, wow, I really don't know what his character's. He's got a family. He's a bow and arrow dude. Beyond that, I kind of don't know who this character is as a character. And I'm kind of interested to unpack that more.
Yeah, which I didn't think I was going to get from this show. I did.
And we also get in the secret, obviously, when he's in the Rogers musical, he turns his hearing aid down. This was a moment where they're talking, Kate asks about it. Like, she goes, wait, you've got hearing loss. How did that happen? This was I love this moment where we flash to, like, all the times, like, Clint's been, like, hitting the head throughout the movies. And he was like, it's hard to say. I was like, that's perfect. That's great. Because how you wouldn't know. Like, the life he leads, there's no way you would know what caused that specifically.
And usually a show would, like, try to shoehorn in some kind of answer.
Yeah, it'd be like a flashback. It's like, those are the moments. It's a tricky tightrope with the Marvel stuff. Because, like you said, like, who's watching this show? Who might be watching the show that is not well-versed in the Marvel stuff? And that's a challenge these shows have. On the other hand, you do have that. You don't need to invent a backstory for stuff. You've already got hours of content, of backstory, that you can shorthand. Like, we don't need to invent a reason for Clint to have a hearing loss. Have you seen an Avengers movie? And he doesn't have armor. He's not a super soldier. He's just a dude getting smacked around by gods. There'd be damage. There'd be, you know what I mean? Like, we can just shorthand that in a pretty effective way. Also, in that exchange, as they're dropping him off Kate's mom's work, which Kate works for her, which also, it was one of those that's kind of lame, but also nepotism. Like, that actually tracks. It makes sense that she would. And her mom runs a security company, which is probably going to become more important as the series goes on. Anyway, Clint, and as on the fence as I was about this whole LARPing situation, I kind of like the way, because, like, clearly Clint's able to just go through this pretty easily. Like, this isn't a big deal for him. And he gets to the guy that supposedly has the Ronin suit. And the guy's like, dude, let me have this win. This is my one opportunity where I get to be like you.
I get this moment.
Yeah, it works. It was weird that, like, we're doing a LARPing thing in the middle of an MCU show, but the interaction, like, works.
Totally.
And I like it too, because it does another similar thing that's one of the reasons I think Anthony Mackie's Falcon, now Captain America, is one of my favorite MCU characters is because he's kind of just a guy. And it feels like we're trying to do that a little bit with Hawkeye. I also like when they're in Times Square and there's people dressed as the Avengers, and Kate points to one of them like, well, there you are. He's like, that's Katniss Everdeen. That's not, nobody's dressing up as Hawkeye.
Yeah. Completely.
So
yeah.
It's humanizing. And I think this is definitely the best stuff we've gotten with Clint Barton so far, because it is so humanizing.
I agree with that. I don't think anybody could see this and disagree with that.
Yeah.
But this is by far and away the best stuff. Also, just because I haven't said it yet, and I don't think you have either, I really like these two episodes.
I like them fine. This didn't really wow me. Like I remember how the first two episodes of like Loki or WandaVision wowed me. And this didn't kind of like, it was like, okay, this is fine. The good mm-hmm. thing about that is all those shows I just mentioned kind of fall apart by the end. And so it's like, oh, maybe this is reverse. Maybe it's like, maybe it'll get better as we go. You know what I mean? Like maybe totally. It'll tighten up. But I definitely, I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. And for me, the big standout of these episodes is 100% Hailee Steinfeld's Kate Bishop. Like it's immediately like the second she's on there, it's like, oh, I like what we're doing with this character. I like this character. I'm excited to see this character in more things. Like,
yeah, me too. Completely.
So
yeah, and I think it's smart that they dropped the first two, because the second one is the one that made me more interested in what's going to happen next. But yeah, keep going. Sorry, DJ.
No, no, you're fine.
Just jumping all over the place because I realized I liked this and I had not said that.
The person he defeats, by the way, says his name is Grills and that he owes Hawkeye one, which is a 100% this character is going to show up again. He's a firefighter. He's useful. He's going to show up later in the show. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, Kate is hellbent on proving that Jack is lying to her mom. And so she challenges him to a fencing match. Where he's clearly letting her win, which, by the way, Jack is a character from the comics. His name is Swordsman, so he 100% is letting her win these fights.
Yeah, for sure.
He's like, this is his one thing. Swords are his one thing. Also,
and how annoying is that for her?
I like that. Like, I like that
she's, I like it too.
Yeah, it's a great character moment for her, that it's not like, yeah, I won. It's like, no, you're lying, and that bothers me more than me beating you. You know what I mean?
Yep, completely.
It's also worth mentioning that in the comics, Swordsman is one of the people that trained Hawkeye how to fight and everything. Clint Barton's Hawkeye. So I think we're moving around a little bit. He's becoming more of a Kate Bishop antagonist, which I think works. And I like that actor a lot. So like, gimme. So this is another moment, Roxy, maybe you can help me. Clint lets himself be kidnapped by the tracksuit mafia. Mm-hmm. I don't remember why.
I felt like they had a better plan, because then when she comes crashing in, it was like, what is happening here? But I think it's to protect her.
Oh, yeah, the kind of like in the like, hey, because they 100% know, because they say her name repeatedly. Her name is on the door when they attack her apartment. They know who Kate Bishop is. Yeah, that's what it is. He's trying to like clear things up. And I
get why that was not clear, though, DJ, because I'm reading between the lines with that one.
Yeah. It's worth noting that Clint is very clear about the fact that like he did bad things when he was in Ronin. And so a lot of criminal organizations are not fans of his. And so like, he's left a lot of wreckage that it looks like the show's going to unpack more, which again is cool. Like I'm into that. So like you said, it looks like Clint 100% has a plan. He's even undoes the ropes while the tracksuit mafia is distracted, but Kate tracks his phone somehow, using the tech mm-hmm. her mom makes.
Rich people shit?
Yeah, sure. Feels like an invasion of privacy, but what, you know, whatever.
And I believed it.
Sure, yeah, well, fine. Yeah, it's fine. And so she goes to save him and, of course, like whiffs it. Like she just falls through the thing because she doesn't have superhero training yet. And it looks like the tracksuit mafia are answering to Echo, play the character Maya Lopez, played by Alakwa Cox, who we now know is, she's getting her own, this character's getting her own Disney Plus show. And that's where we end the episode. We reveal her. I will say that so in the comics, Maya Lopez is a Native American character who's deaf, who's raised by Wilson Fisk's kingpin in the comic, which is why all the speculation that Vincent D'Onofrio is going to show up in the show. And the actress, Alacqua Cox, is of indigenous descent and is also deaf. So like they're doing the work, which is really good. That's really cool. But we don't really see enough of her in this episode to like, I don't know.
What do you think about in the future?
Well, it's interesting because Maya Lopez also was Ronin at one point in the comics. I believe she wore the Ronin mantle before Hawkeye did. So there's a connection there. I don't know. Weirdly, after seeing these first two episodes, if Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin showed up, I actually genuinely would be surprised. I just feel like this just doesn't feel like the show that's going to do that. But like, I've been surprised before. It feels like that's going to be the Mephisto of this show. Like, when's Kingpin going to show up? And it's like, well, maybe he just won't. Like, maybe he won't.
Yeah, totally. I think that there's a lot of different directions that it could go, and I that's why I was excited about after the second one, because we just don't know.
Yeah. You said you like the episodes. What would you like to see them do moving forward? Because it's 10, I think it's 10 episodes. No.
Yeah.
That seems like too many.
I don't know if this is too big of a spoiler to say based on IMDb and based on trailers and stuff. I think it's okay to put this.
Well, and I'm going to assume what you're going to say is a teaser of a movie that came out this year. That's already been out for a minute.
Yeah.
Tease this.
So,
yes.
So yeah, I mean, like, to me, I'm really excited about some of the dynamics that we could possibly get here. And seeing that Florence Pugh is slated to be in, I think, 4 episodes of this show.
Oh, dang.
That's a lot. And yes, clearly going to be, you know, not an it's not a 1-episode arc. So The fact that we've got that going on, I'm really excited about what direction that could lead into. And Haley Steinfeld's dynamic with Jeremy Renner, obviously, I just want to see more of. I like the Tracksuit Mafia. I think it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of a funny group for us to be sticking with. So more of that. And I'm hoping that this show is not just set up for the future. I hope that we actually get something out of this show.
Yeah, because it is. We don't quite know where we're going. We're setting up something with Jack Duquesne. There's something going on there. And something that, as you were talking, I realized, like, the stakes right now are appreciably low for a Marvel thing. And it'd be cool if they stayed that. Like, I don't want, like, so it's 6. I said 10. It's 6 episodes. So I don't want an episode 5, like, Jack has a nuclear device and he's going to wipe out New York City. Like, no, dude, we don't need any of that. It could just be Clint just wants to get home for Christmas. Which, by the way, another thing I should mention that I do like, when I remember in Age of Ultron, when we introduced Hawkeye as like a family man, it's like, oh, that is not the way it is in the comics. That feels weird. I think it is really effective here because it does, in the comics with Clint and Kate, they have to work around the fact that like there's not going to be any like romantic thing going on between the two, especially with the age disparity and all that. Like, because I think in the comics she is a teenager. We're not going to be doing any of that. This show doesn't need to do any of that because he's got a wife and a family. And so it's like,
it would be so fucking weird. Yeah, if that's the direction they went in, I would just be no.
And I think this Hawkeye as like a father/mentor figure is great. I think that's a really great direction to take the character in. I think it really works with the Kate Bishop character. I think establishing Kate having kind of a dicey relationship with her dad sets that up in a really, I think it's just smart for this version of Hawkeye. And I like that this show might actually make me like Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, I know. It would be crazy if we come out of the show somehow being like Hawkeye, one of the better MCU characters, something that I never pictured saying.
And I also like with the idea of Yelena showing up, like you said, Yelena was one of the highlights of the Black Widow movie. Seeing her and Haley Steinfeld bounce off of each other, it seems very exciting. I'm very looking forward to that. Do you think we will get Kingpin or anything else like that? Or is this going to be, like I said, like the Mephisto where everybody's expecting it and it never materializes?
I think that One or the two, one or the other. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, DJ?
It doesn't feel, and I don't know, it's hard for me to articulate. I just have a hard time envisioning Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin existing in this show. Like, the tone of this show just doesn't feel like, and obviously it would be a different version of Kingpin. It's not impossible. It just doesn't feel like, I feel like it almost take me out of the show. It's like,
I'm trying to think of tonally, like, if it would almost make him feel like a parody.
Yeah, because it's like, this is the guy that took a dude's head off with a car door. This guy.
Yeah, just kind of like a weird, yeah.
Because if we do.
There was something really light about this show.
Yes.
There was something really like endearing and cute about this show.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily expecting that. And he is not those things.
Yeah, because and I think there's a way to do it. If you do it, he needs to be the big bad of the show, and the show needs to treat it with the gravity that, like, oh, shit just got real. They need to treat it like fucking Dr. Doom showed up or whatever. Like, oh, shit just got real because this guy showed up. And he doesn't need to be – he will not be. It's a Disney Plus show. He will not be as violent as he was on Daredevil. That's not going to happen. But, like, the gravity that a character like that should bring with them into a show like this, the show needs to acknowledge that. And I don't know – it's not that it can't. It just doesn't feel like what – we're doing. That said, as we already know, Echo's getting her own show. He could show up in that. That would make sense. Like, we could drop hints that the Echo's backstory is the same as in the comics. So we could show up there. Before we go, real quick, we're going to wrap up, but I do want to get in one question from the Discord. We didn't get a lot, but we got this. We got Leonard Kim. I envision Hailee Steinfeld absolutely crushing the role as Kate Bishop, with the MCU growing exponentially. Do you think her presence/role in the MCU can be significant, or will she be a bit overshadowed?
No, I think it definitely is going to be significant.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be super well liked. And then I think that we've got Young Avengers. And then I think that we're putting together an entire team of, like, this badass, the Florence Pugh and Kate Bishops of the world, or Yelena?
Yeah.
Of the world. And that's the future of, you know, we've got a lot of people at this age group, like Spidey.
Yeah.
Even, you know, like, who knows? So, yes, I definitely think she's going to be a big player.
Also, of the Young Avengers, of the people that populated the Young Avengers team that we have seen on these shows, Hailee Steinfeld is the one legit. She's a star. She is a movie star. And as opposed to the other ones are kind of unknowns, like, she is a movie star. And so, like, that has to be intentional.
Right. Totally. Definitely. I just can't, there's no world in which she just doesn't play a big role in the next phase.
Yeah. So those are our thoughts on Hawkeye. Let us know what you think. Roxy, where can the kids find you?
They can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. That's where they can find me, DJ.
You can find me everywhere at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
Yeah, that was from Stupid.
If you want to listen to episodes like this early, or watch them live, or check out our new show, Spider-Versity, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And we will see you all again soon. Bye, everybody.